Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
It is that time of year when the nasty winter viruses start to make their way into creches, into schools and workplaces. Dr. Maura Finn, Clare-based GP, is with me now with advice about how we can try to avoid them at best and treat them if we do run into them. And if you want to get a question into us, there's still time. You can use WhatsApp to get in touch, 0870 32 32 32. Good morning, Maura.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good, and I don't have the common cold. I haven't had the vomiting, and I don't want it either, which is why we have you on here today. But there is lots of sniffing and sneezing around at the moment, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is the beginning of the season. They are seasonal. Viruses predominate in the winter. Now, we get bacterial infections or any infection all year long, but in the winter, they do kind of predominate. There's the RSV, the flu viruses, and they particularly start around October and the end maybe about February or March. So we're just in the beginning of it. Kids go back to school and give it about a month and things start happening. And we're seeing it in the surgery. And I'm sure most people that are listening are kind of, some people have sniffles and some people are getting a little sicker than that. So it's time to be kind of aware of it and time to start just looking after yourself and making sure that you're aware of symptoms that might be more dangerous or how to kind of protect yourself.
Okay, so how do we know when it's just a cold and not a flu? And if it is a flu, what should you be doing to remind yourself?
Yeah, well, the difference really is a cold, that what we normally call a cold is caused by many number of viruses, rhinoviruses, some coronaviruses. Usually it's upper respiratory. So people will know what that is. That's your nose and maybe your sinusy feeling a bit congested. It's a runny nose, a bit snotty, maybe a slight temperature, usually not a very high temperature. Bit off form, just, you know, maybe for children, they're a little bit kind of, they're coughing because their nose is blocked and they can't, mightn't be feeding as well if they're small children and they're not eating as well and you're just not feeling yourself. A flu is a different thing. A flu kind of, it's a virus as well, but it affects the entire body. That's probably the easiest way to think of it. And cold can be progressive in how it presents. A flu tends to hit you very quickly in about 24 hours. And you know when you've a flu, a real flu hits you with kind of headache, high temperature, body aches and pains, chills, really no appetite whatsoever. You kind of need to be in bed with a flu. With a cold, you can function.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are the real differences between them.
We have Sean, who's got in touch with us, and he says he's in his 60s. He's just come through a really bad cold / flu. So we're not sure which it was, but he obviously felt rough enough. And he wants to know, should he wait a while before getting the flu vaccine?
Well, you see, if he felt it was a really bad cold versus flu, it probably was more like a flu and it was a bad viral infection either way. If you have a current temperature or you're currently unwell or symptomatic, we don't advise giving any vaccine. But if you're just over it, if you've been about a week without any temperature or symptoms, we'd be very happy to give it to you. And the problem is that at this time of year, he's a little bit vulnerable now. He's just recovered from something. His immune system is a little bit depleted and it's the very time that he might actually get another dose, you know. So actually it would be timely for him to, as long as he's asymptomatic and not running a temperature for the last, say, 48 hours, I'd suggest he does go and get the vaccines and protect himself. Okay. So that he'll get another worse dose the next time.
Now, I mentioned the winter vomiting bug, and I think that's the one over all of them that we dread coming into the house, don't we? I mean, is there any way...
Oh, with smallies, yeah.
Is there any way of avoiding it if it does make its way into your house?
Well, if it's in the house, it's very difficult, but it's a fecal oral route. So it's spread by contact and by hand. If you don't wash your hands properly after, if you have a smallie like a nappies and they have diarrhea from it or they're vomiting and you're not washing your hands carefully, you will be more likely to get it yourself or other people in the house. It isn't inevitable that somebody will get it. Everybody will get it if it's in the house, but it is very contagious. It's very severe usually, but it only lasts about 24 hours. That's the best part of it. But if you're young and vulnerable or old and vulnerable, you can have a very serious consequences of it, from dehydration to other consequences. The thing is, it's about hand washing. It's about not sharing cups and plates and cutlery, making sure your towels are clean, making sure if there is vomit or diarrhea that it's really well cleaned and disposed of. You know, these are the things, we all know it, but when you're tired and if somebody's vomiting in the middle of the night, you mightn't be as inclined to... be as careful. But that is how this is spread. And we all know this. And that's why you'll see restrictions in hospitals when the, you know, that winter vomiting bug is going around. It's because it is so contagious and it's difficult to kind of contain.
Well, we have another listener now who has a chest infection for the past week. They're on an antibiotic, but they say it's not improving. And they want to know, is there anything else they can or should do?
Okay, so a chest infection is a great kind of coverall, but what is that? Is it does that person have a bad viral infection that doesn't actually require an antibiotic in the first place? But frequently, if somebody's elderly or if they have other complications, we'll give an antibiotic to avoid kind of other complications. But that could be the reason why they're not improving, because it may be viral in the first place. And viruses do not respond to antibiotics. But a viral infection and a cough in particular, and if it's a chest infection, I presume that person is coughing, it can take 2 weeks minimum for the symptoms to clear. So if they're not feeling worse, if the temperature is under control, if they're not feeling kind of very, very unwell, and they're not, you know, coughing up blood or anything sinister, have a bad pain in the chest, you probably do need to be kind of just patient and wait for it to settle. Mind yourself, keep warm, stay away from work or school or whatever it is that's happening. And the cough will go. A cough is a symptom that you get because your body's trying to clear an infection. It has a purpose. So even though we're afraid of it and we don't like it, it actually does have a purpose. So it may take a while for the symptoms to go.
Now I have another one, and I feel really sorry for this person because they're running the Dublin Marathon and they've been down with flu since Monday of last week, and now they have a sinus and chest infection. So they have about 2 weeks to go to get over this and be healthy again for the marathon. And they just wonder, are there any tips when it comes to doing that?
Okay. Well, the first thing I would say, actually, and anybody who's like very into competing and high intensity exercise, it's really important you don't exercise with a flu, because with a flu, you can actually become quite unwell if you exercise intensely. With a cold or upper respiratory, minor things, it isn't a problem, but serious flu can be. So that's one thing. So I hope that person really did take a rest with the flu symptoms. But as a result of the flu symptoms, he or she obviously has this congestion in the nasal tract and maybe in the sinuses, which have the same lining as the nasal tract. And that congestion has made them feel really full and probably got a headache and sinusy symptoms. And it may not be that there's another infection there. It's just that the congestion is still there. And clearing that is really important. And that can be done with nasal sprays, steaming. The old fashioned kind of bowl of hot water with a towel over your head and a bit of Vicks in it is really, really good. It's temporary, but it's enough to kind of clear up the airway so that you can breathe comfortably and maybe sleep well. And then maybe using a nasal spray on top of that, especially the steroid based nasal sprays that you can buy over the counter now. But it's really important that, you know, he or she really does rest and completely recover before they get back into the training. I know they've probably had a really important schedule and want to stick with it, but you don't want to make yourself unwell because you're training through illness.
Mm-hmm. Well, they should be at the stage now where they've tapered off and maybe they will be doing less now anyway. So the training that they've done over the last year might stand to them when they get to 2 weeks' time. And hopefully at that stage, things might have cleared up.
Exactly. Best of luck to them.
Best of luck to them is right, and everyone doing the marathon. Maura, always good to talk to you. Thank you so much for being with us. That's Dr. Maura Finn there, our regular GP, joining us on those winter illnesses that hopefully not too many of us will run into over the coming months.